The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Stephen Cooklin, Chief Executive Officer of Manolet Partners. M-A-N-O is the ticker there. Steve, thanks for joining me.
Absolute pleasure. Good to speak to you, Justin.
Yeah, and it's been a very interesting year for you, well, for everyone. Who would have predicted where we are today and how long it's taken to get to where we are today? But you've released your half-year results for the 6 months, ended the 30th of September, and we'll dig into that in a bit of detail. Before we do, Stephen, for people maybe not familiar with the company, could you explain what Manolet Partners are about, please?
Yep, in an absolute nutshell, we buy claims off insolvent companies from liquidators and administrators. We get a recovery, we get a cost back, and we split the remainder between the creditors who've lost their money and our shareholders.
I understand. And so it's been a very interesting, I've been reading through your results, there's been very interesting, you know, growth happening, but of course it was suppressed by the government and their schemes, and we'll talk about that. In fact, let's go into some operational highlights, if you could, Stephen.
Yeah, sure. So I think all of these results really are coloured by this almost wartime legislation that the government brought in June 2020, the Corporate Insolvency and Governance Act, emergency legislation really to protect employment. And the way they did that was to make it very, very difficult for creditors to put companies into insolvency. So whether it's winding up petitions or statutory demands, if it was due to COVID, those weren't going to be affected. And the judge wouldn't put them into insolvency. So that really had a very big suppressing effect on the number of UK insolvencies. They were down about 40% across the market. And those laws were always going to be temporary, but they kept on being extended. So everyone expected them to end in December. They got extended again until March. And then finally, interestingly, these results up to 30th September, the next day, all of this, vast majority of it, ended on the 1st of October. So we're kind of back to normal. And then the backlog of all those cases that didn't go into insolvency hopefully will emerge now.
Yeah, wow. So, you know, very interesting situation. Like I say, you know, artificially suppressed the natural flow of things, administration and all that. And then I assume now, because of the stress on certain businesses, it's going to get even busier, is it? So going forward?
That's certainly what everyone's predicting. I mean, the BBC spoke. I mean, just get it in context. There's millions, 4 million companies active in the UK, 500,000 new ones every year. We're talking about the 20,000 in normal circumstances that go bust. Yeah. Of those, about 2,000-3,000 have these claims, and you know, people are being rather naughty with the company's money, and creditors need to be put back in their pocket. But this is billions of pounds of unpaid taxes and such like. So that because the numbers were down last year, so that 20,000 was more like 12,000, there's a strong feeling that there'll be a kind of catch up over the next year or 2 years because of that artificial suppression. And then, of course, you overlay on that what COVID has done to various sectors of the economy, and that's likely to have dislocated a number of companies in addition as well.
Yeah, yeah. So of the cases you take on, I understand you buy the majority, is that right?
That's right. So in the 6 month period, we bought 94% of our cases. So just 6% we were funding the liquidator, 94% we've just bought it and we are in full control. And this is really why we're very different to all the other litigation funders, because they're funding, you know, a lay company, a lay individual that really don't know an awful lot about litigation. When we are funding in those small minority cases, we're funding an IP who's very sophisticated. But most of the time, it's my brilliant team of 11 in-house lawyers who've been doing this their entire careers at partner level in law firms that are running the cases and are in full control of those cases.
Yeah, and so you're sort of highly specialised, and the outcome, the chance of a successful outcome is quite high. Is that the case?
That's right, indeed. I mean, only less than 3% of our cases actually even end up in a trial. 97% are settled long before. And in fact, the majority, we don't even have to issue the claim. And this is why the costs are so low. Yeah. You know, you've just exchanged a few letters, you've had a sit down, and, you know, we're dealing with, you know, your normal run-of-the-mill SME business owner who's, you know, got it wrong on his taxes, or, you know, he's repaid his mother or his sister before the other creditors. You you know, they've just broken the insolvency law, and things just need to be rectified. So yeah, there's no need to spend millions in trials, etc. That's not our arena, really.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And so, take us through some of the financial highlights, if you could, Stephen.
Yeah. So what we've done in the RNS today is. Let's look at things not just from this time last year, but also how things have changed from the last half year, so up to March 21. So revenues actually increased 15% compared to the most recent 6 months, but they were 46% below when COVID was really taking and these legislative changes were really taking hold. So down 46% below. The thing that adds to that is that in that prior period, so this 6 months ended September 2020, we had one very large case that we did a separate announcement on. So obviously that's not replicated in this 6 months. So it makes comparison half year to half year somewhat difficult. So we added in the most recent 6 months to March this year to show that actually, both in terms of revenue, gross profit and EBIT are all very strongly ahead, despite all these awful suppressive laws being in place, which have now disappeared from the 1st of October.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, looking forward, are you quietly confident?
We are. So the we've added a few KPIs because we get very good visibility on our business. We can see the appointments at from the insolvency service that everyone can see online every month. And those have been back to pre-pandemic levels for each of the last 4 months. In fact, quite strongly above some of those levels. And that has translated already into new case inquiries for September. Jumped up to 50. October was 55, and that compares to more like 30 a few months ago. So a very strong rebound. Number of actual new signed cases. October we were up 50% from a low in August, and up 80% in October. So early signs. These are small data points. So you know, we need to see it all rolled out more fully for the full year and beyond. But the early signs are certainly encouraging.
Yeah, and even so, like I said, it's going to be hard to find like-for-like sales, like you say, but, you know, you must be, you know, quite proud of how the business has stacked up, even in these, you know, unprecedented times.
Very resilient. Where we benefited is that as we went into COVID, we benefited from the time lag. Even though the number of insolvencies had decreased, IPs were still looking at cases for the 6 months before those new laws came in. So we were still getting the benefit of that. It was only really come December, January, that our KPIs started getting impacted, which is when we did the profits warning to highlight that. We flagged it very strongly in the half results. This could be a major problem. And then it did become a major problem. But we're now coming out of that. As I say, the KPIs are encouraging. They're encouraging, frankly, before I expected them to be, because that time lag that we benefited from before will suffer a bit now, because, of course, the appointments now increase from insolvency appointments, and it'll take them a few months to investigate the claims and then come up to us with the cases. But we're already seeing KPIs improving strongly already.
Excellent stuff. Okay, well, Stephen, on the front page of Vox Markets there, there's a list of 10 companies that are most followed. That changes all the time as people hit follow buttons on different pages. So to get on that list, if you could, give us 3 quick reasons why someone should hit that follow button on your page and add Manolet Partners to their watch list, please.
Brilliant. Okay, well, I'll give you 3. One will be slightly jokey, one will be deadly serious, another one very much to investor, professional investors. So the deadly serious one is what we do is very important. We are bringing directors to task who've broken the rules. Usually that is HMRC who is being left unpaid, and those are our hospitals, our schools, our foreign aid budgets. That's where the money being drained out from. So when we get a recovery, most of that money is going back to HMRC and other creditors. So there's a strong access to justice and social good that Manolet's working on with insolvency practitioners and lawyers. The slightly jokey one is, look, litigation funding, love it or hate it, it's a very sexy area. The returns across the board of all the listed companies are very, very attractive. We've got our own particular niche where we're buying the claims themselves, so we think we're in far greater control. But it is, as part of part of a portfolio, I think it's a very interesting phenomenon that is likely to run and run on a global scale for many years to come. So I think it's a fun business to be involved in. Finally, the kind of professional investor point. Uncorrelated returns. Law is uncorrelated. And so whether retail's in vogue or interest rates are going in a certain direction or inflation's going in a certain direction, insolvency is a lovely counterbalance to one's normal portfolio. Our claims are completely uncorrelated to the market, and therefore we think a very good element to a well-balanced portfolio.
Excellent stuff. Yeah, Steve, it's good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll catch up in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Look forward to it, Justin. Many thanks.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.